Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Jessica Fialkovic, a business exit expert and an author and the founder and president of Exit Factor. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that I did not butcher your last name too awfully bad. I'm sure you get all kinds of variations of that. But the point is, wow, you have got a lot going on. Taking a look at your bio and your background and the book, it's just spectacular what you're doing, because what a huge opportunity for businesses to make sure they polish up their business in advance of an exit. And there's a lot of the definitions of what an exit could look like. So I'm excited to talk with you about that. But get us started with your entrepreneurial journey. What has brought you to this point in your career?
Yeah, it's a great question, Mike. I never thought I was going to be an entrepreneur. So like all those entrepreneurial stories where people were selling like lemonade at the age of five, like that was not me. So I started my career in sports marketing. I worked for an NFL and an NHL team. And then really through the recession and a couple different jobs, I was laid off like most people were in 2009. And that was kind of the first realization that I had that, at least for me, entrepreneurship is more secure than the traditional job path, right? I'm very type A and I like to control things. So I figured out that, you know, I could control my future if I was reliant just on myself. So my fiance at the time, husband now, and I decided we were going to embark in starting our own business together in 2009. We started in the wine industry. We were doing retail and online wine sales for luxury brands, and did that for about 3 years before we decided to sell the business. And through that sale is really how I got into mergers and acquisitions and exit strategy, like I am today. So I've been in that field for about 10 years and own three different business locations for M&A and exit strategy practices in Colorado, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Las Vegas.
Awesome. So, what was it when you sold your wine business that made you go, wow, I made this mistake, could have done this better. I wish I had known this ahead of time, because that probably got you into the M&A and also the exit. So were there some things through that you kind of learned and was like, okay, I got to figure this out and then fix it and then tell other people about it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And that, I guess that is the entrepreneurial gene that I actually do have, is like, see a problem, fix it. So,
and then monetize it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. So I was frustrated with the exit process because I found that there was a lot of experts that would help you start your company and help you grow. But when we went to sell or exit, there wasn't a lot of people to help us. And especially because we were a smaller business at the time, you know, we weren't pulling in 8 figures in revenue. We were pulling in 7 figures. But even then, a lot of our advisors were like, you're too small. No one's going to want to buy this. And I heard a lot of that. And we really only had one option in terms of an advisor or business broker that was, you know, quote unquote, willing to work with us. And the whole process just left me a little bit sour with how the industry worked. And I felt like there should be better resources, better education for small to mid-sized business owners about how to sell. And then the process should just be a little bit more professional. So that's been my mission for the last 10 years is really, how do we bring education and resources like, you know, multi-million or multi-billion dollar companies would have for an exit down to the small to mid-sized business market, where honestly, most of the businesses are.
Yep. So. Yeah. So I always love when it's like, you know, hey, I spent a decade on Wall Street and learned all the top notch strategies. Now I'm bringing it to, you know, the traditional, and it's really neat to kind of hear some of the $1 billion strategies. Now let's add, they're the same strategies, just less zeros. Well, let's use those powerful strategies. When you talk with or work with a business, how far in advance of an exit do you recommend getting with someone like yourself and starting learning or working with you? Because I think that it's just like planning for retirement. You know, oh yeah, totally. I'll do that. And then it's like, oh, retirement, that's like 18 months from now. Well, maybe it should have been done sooner. So what's the runway ahead of the exit that you recommend?
Yeah, it's so funny, Mike. I use that metaphor with the retirement planning all the time. Yeah, but look, I recommend, obviously, day one, you should start thinking about an exit. I think you should always have exit options in your business from the first day you start them. And I think that can be done with just a simple assessment or business valuation to kind of set you on the path. It is necessary to start the planning process and start really heavily investing time and effort into it 3 to 5 years in advance. And you hear that a lot. I hear other exit planners and exit strategy experts recommend that timeline, but I want to give like a little reasoning behind it. So when you go to sell a business, you go through this process called due diligence. It's like an inspection phase for a business buyer. And when they're going through that process, they're going to inspect and investigate the business for the last 3 to 5 years. So they're going to look at your books and records. They're going to look at, you know, your marketing, your performance, all that stuff back 3 to 5 years. And so you really want to be presented as best as you can for that entire length of time when you're going to sell. So that's kind of why we recommend 3 to 5 years in advance. But, you know, some of us don't know when we're going to sell. One day, you know, when I was in my buying business, I just kind of woke up one day and said, you know, I'm done. I'm going to sell.
It's not doing it anymore for me.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes even having those exit options and understanding of what an exit strategy is for your business from day one at any given time is just, I mean, it's something that I think everyone should do.
Yeah. You know, for the last probably 12 years, I've consulted for the SBDC, the Small Business Development Centers, and they do a program called Leading Edge. And one of my friends runs that here in Colorado. And many times she said, we have some businesses that come through it and, you know, they got this idea and we take it from idea to build the business plan. And sometimes people come through that and go, what a wonderful class. Thank you so much. I now know I'm not going to start this business. I took it through the due diligence of the, you know, 8-10 week class, whatever it was, and I need to pivot or do something different or not at all. So I'll bet you that you have some people with that 3 to 5 year window, that runway that goes, okay, I need to, and it's kind of like the book Built to Sell by John Warlow. I'm sure you've read that. You kind of go through that and it's like, okay, I'm polishing this up to sell and I'm making systems. And well, hey, maybe I wake up and it's like, well, shoot, maybe I don't want to sell. Cause it's the same strategies that you need to polish up the business to get ready to sell that you need to do to improve the business. So all that to say, where is some of the first places that you tell businesses to start with the low hanging fruit that makes some of the biggest differences for that exit?
Yeah, and it's a great question. It's a great point too. It's like, it is funny. I say if we ran our businesses like we were going to sell them the whole time, we'd actually enjoy them more, right? Yep. So the first thing I tell people to start with and the first thing to do is really to focus on financial performance. And entrepreneurs, I think as a group, we love to talk about potential and opportunity and sell the soft factors of our companies. And those are things that buyers look at, but ultimately it comes down to return on investment and how much money the business is making in terms of profit, not revenue, right? But at the end of the day, bottom line profit. And I think that's the first area all business owners really should focus in when they're thinking about selling. But, you know, kind of back to your point in our discussion of like, well, if we ran our businesses like we were going to sell, we would enjoy them more. As we start to clean up the financials and become more profitable and increase our margins, obviously we're making more money for ourselves in the short term too. So that's like the number one thing. It's responsible for over half of all business deals dying when they go to sell is financial performance and financial records. And it's the number one thing that buyers look at.
And that's the springboard to valuation. Because we see it so many times on Shark Tank, which, you know, my family and I watch religiously, and they go, how did you come up with that valuation? Come on. And, you know, there's all the, you know, oh, well, we have this and multiples of that. But the point is, if your financials aren't in place with some good revenue and great expenses, so the profit margin's there, now that becomes the metric to set that valuation. So what are some of the mistakes people make when valuing the business? Because you might think it's your baby, you know, you might think it's worth X because you put your blood, sweat, and tears in it. But when you dig down below and peel the layers of the onion back, it's like, oh, well,
yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, this is a hard topic for us. So, I mean, really when I'm looking at valuations, one of the big mistakes is it's not an emotional process, right? There's no, we don't tie valuation to, you know, the business being our baby or how much blood, sweat, and tears we've put on into it. It's actually, it's a formula, right? So it is part art and part science, but the part science part is really just maximizing those earnings. It starts with earnings, like you said, in valuation. And then in terms of to get a value of a business, you apply a multiple to those earnings. And that's more where the art or the qualitative factors come in, like how involved is the owner in the business? Like what are their differentiating factors? But it all starts with those earnings. So the more we can maximize the earnings, that's the biggest thing we can control in terms of our value. The multiple that's applied to those earnings, like I said, it can be affected by qualitative factors that you control, or it could be external qualitative factors like the economy or your industry or things like that.
100%. You know, and I think remembering back to Shark Tank, you know, there's a lot of times that people will go, yeah, we did 1. Whatever million in revenue. And they're like, yahoo, because it sounds great. But then if you had 1.9 in expenses, what did that do for you? So it all gets down to those numbers. You have to know the numbers. And if you don't like to be that numbers person, get someone that is. So at some point during your, you know, foray into learning and coaching and developing your client base with helping them understand these things, you thought, let me just codify all this into a book. So your book comes out. Tell us a little bit about how to get the most for selling your business.
Yeah. So I get asked the question a lot, which is, you know, how can I increase the value of my business? Like what can I do to maximize my business value? And I used to answer that question through lunches and coffees and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to just put this in a book because it's not a simple answer. And it does take some time, apparently about 120 pages to explain the answer to that question. So I started the book about 2 years ago and just started putting my thoughts down of, at that point, I think we had advised over 500 companies through the sale process. We're about at 600 now. And, just using my experience and what I've seen, other business owners do in terms of why some got more, why some got less, why some never sold. And so that was the reason I wrote the book, and to be able to hand that to our clients, or even just, people that we meet and ask me that question. So that was kind of why I wrote it. It was like, all right, here's the, you've that question. I get it all the time. Here's the answer. It's in this book.
Yes. Well, I love it. I think that is spectacular. How about something that would increase the likelihood that your business will sell? Yes, numbers and all of that, but what are some other things? Like you think about selling a house, you know, curb appeal. What is some of the curb appeal that you would say your business needs to have this and this and this, kind of like for the curb appeal factor, even before they get into the foundation and making sure the bones of the house are good? Well, the bones of the foundation are the numbers. What about some curb appeal?
Yeah, curb appeal is a really good point. And like when you're selling a business, there's still the physical curb appeal. There's actually a story in the book I talk about where we're trying to sell a business. And when you pulled up, it was an industrial location. And when you pulled up to the building, there was a toilet in front of the front door that they had, like they'd replaced an old toilet and left it in the front yard and never put it in the dumpster. Yeah. So there is type of curb appeal, which is very important because when you go to sell, your buyers are going to do tours. But outside of physical, online curb appeal has become more and more and more important. So once you are starting to market the business for sale and buy your qualifying buyers and things like that, the first thing they do is jump online and research you, right? So everything from your reviews on every platform, like when we are working with a client with Exit Factor, like we look at every platform, even though I think like people are using Yelp less and less and less, we still evaluate what your Yelp ratings are because the first thing a buyer is going to do is Google it and Yelp comes up still on the first page of results.
It's called your Google resume.
Exactly. And that ties into your website too. Website, social media, like if it just hasn't been updated, if your website the last time, you know, you did a revamp of it was, you know, in the early 2000s. Some buyers see that as an opportunity, but other buyers that maybe don't have those marketing skills might shy away from that. So curb appeal, I think, has become much more about your online footprint in the last 10 years than it was previously. And it's very important.
Yes. 100%. And I think you think about, you know, branding, the phrase branding, personal branding, professional mm-hmm. branding. Well, in this case, it's like the corporate brand, and it's way more than just, you know, what color is your website and how about your logo? It really is what people do. And so many times what you just said, people know, but they don't really think about. You know, I mentioned to a group of financial planners, I was like, hey, when you guys do a seminar and you stand in front of the group and, you know, you've got your PowerPoint slide up there and it's got your logo and your name, what do you think they're doing the very first time they see your name? You know, maybe they just came because they heard it was a business seminar and now here is this financial planner. They're pulling out their phone, they're Googling your name and your agency name. What do they see? Well, the same with this. A business that's in the midst of being sold, you know, whoever, the investor or the buyer or your customers, they're Googling you. What do they see? And that's a wonderful example of polish and you know, curb appeal, if we want to think of it like that. And there's some simple ways to do that. And that's a whole, probably, you know, for a whole other book or a chapter in the book. But I think that these are the things, you know, when you look at some of these big pillars, you know, the curb appeal, the what do people see, the numbers, the branding, or the financials, all of those things need to be in place so that someone feels like, hey, I'm going to walk in and buy this business and it's going to keep on running because you've got systems in place. You've got, you know, customers and future. And so I think that's so huge to think about, and having that 3 to 5 year runway, you know, it just gives you more options. You could probably do it in 3 to 5 months, but you probably are going to feel stressed and overwhelmed. But if you have that runway, it's going to be so much easier. And then what does an exit look like? Is it, here's the price, give me the money, or is it, let me still be part of it, or let me pass it to family? All of those factors are in there. And I think those are the things that's what you're explaining to your clients to be able to see, you know, what some of those options are. So let's wrap up with this, Jessica. Yeah. What's someone hearing this going, you know what, maybe I'd love to have that coffee with her, but she did a brain dump and put it into book. How can people learn more about what you do and pick up a copy of your book?
Yeah. Thanks for asking, Mike. So if you go to our website, exitfactor.com, if you go to /podcast, obviously you can buy the book from there, but it also gives you the opportunity to connect with us through reaching out through email or follow us on social media and everything as well.
Excellent. And I will make sure to have the link to the website right in the show notes. So thank you so much for coming on. It's a real pleasure talking with you.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.